You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We're in Los Angeles. We have a couple shows coming up tomorrow and the next day.
Very cool. With regards to your recording process, you mostly recorded this album from home, right? You started in a studio and then recorded the rest like from a home studio?
No, we recorded pretty much everything in the home studio. We worked in a studio briefly to just try out some kind of live ideas and try out some band things, but that was just more of like an experiment and it didn't really end up making the record.
Sure.
So yeah, I do everything. I built like a home studio at my house and just do everything out of there.
That's really cool. Well, what kind of setup do you have? Like, because I noticed for a start, like the drum sound on that album is incredible. On the new album, it's so good.
And that's kind of a mix of a lot of spaces. So yeah, actually, that's good ear, because that is the one thing that we went outside. We recorded those drums in Brooklyn at Vice and Virtue Studios.
No kidding. So the rest of the guitar.
That's the one thing I can't do in my house.
Oh, true.
Or his drums.
Yeah, I guess.
Guitars, though, we use, I use all amp sims and Kemper, the Kemper profiling amp. So, like, we don't need, like, big amp rooms or anything like that.
What are your musical influences? Like, when you go about writing songs and stuff, do you have any references, like, or for this album, did you have any particular references musically?
Yeah, I mean, I think, in general, Boards of Canada and Oryx Mouse were sort of, and DJ Shadow to a, in an earlier time, were some really influential producers in my sound. But then I think lately I've more and more branched out to different kinds of stuff. And I think for this record, I mean, definitely for the last two records, I've really, and in this one in particular, I think Nigel Godrich and his work with Radiohead and Atoms for Peace was a huge influence. And then definitely Kevin Parker for his Tame Impala project. Like, everything he's done with that has been hugely influential and inspirational. So I think, you know, there's a lot of listening to Currents as a reference point for the sort of space that I wanted this album to occupy.
I was wondering, has performing live, and I guess now including a fourth member, has it changed how you've gone about writing songs over, especially these last two albums, like since you've had a live band?
No, I don't think I'm consciously trying to incorporate that or like consider how songs will play live, but I think it's an unavoidable. I think you play that many shows, and it's going to find its way into the music one way or the other.
Yeah.
And I definitely think there's kind of a kinetic, visceral aspect to a lot of this music that's probably directly related, especially with the drums to the live shows. Because what Rory brings to the live show is something that I've always really wanted to try and incorporate more and more into the sound of the album.
Yeah, and it stands out a lot on the new album. A few of those songs, just some incredible drumming on there. It sounded really great. The new album represent like the end of a phase, I guess, being the end of the sort of three album trilogy and stuff? And what do you see yourself doing from now? Do you think you'll follow on the same sort of buzz, or do you think you'll try some other things?
It's really hard. I can't really speak to what the next album will sound like for sure. I just think, you know, when I say the end of the trilogy, I guess for me, I feel like I've given everything I owe to this initial concept of it, what I was kind of working towards since Dive, the sound that sort of crystallized with Dive, and then I pushed into a different direction of that same sound, like explored kind of a different corner of it with Awake, and then I think this album was the one that brought together a lot of the ideas and a lot of the sonic characteristics of Dive and combine that with the energy of Awake. So I guess for me, it's just like this one felt like I got it out, and I feel satisfied that I pursued this concept as far as I wanted to originally. And now, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe my next album will sound a heck of a lot like it, but my goal is definitely to try to do something different and maybe try something new and hopefully that feels a lot different, but still borrows some of the original ideas, you know.
Cool. That's really cool. Regarding like home recording, do you think it's influenced how you've gone about releasing the album and how soon after you recorded it? Because I guess a big thing about this release is that you mastered it a month ago or a couple of months ago to finish mastering, and now it's
well, we
it's out.
Recording and mixing and mastering, yeah, like 30 days ago, yeah. Well, now it's been probably been 40 days now, but
which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the beauty of, you know, digital distribution. Of course, the only drawback was that on day one, you know, on release day, we didn't have physical copies of anything, and I know a lot of people really enjoy vinyl, and that's a big part of record sales, but we felt like the trade-off was worth it, you know, because the vinyl will be out, I think, in January or something. But
Oh, very cool.
I think the main thing was that what we gained was this really direct connection between the creation of that music and people experiencing it. It was like immediate, and I've never really experienced that myself, and it just made it so much more fulfilling for me as an artist and to be able to share that so quickly and not have to sit on it and just play it for your friends or whatever. And I'm hoping that it was, you know, that the fans maybe actually felt a little bit of that as well, just feeling like this feels very new and present and like right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a big influence from, say, artists like Sigur Rós and like Mogwai and stuff? I'm just wondering, I've really been enjoying the ambience of the album, all of the albums, actually. It's been really, really nice.
You know, I never really got into Sigur Rós. I really respect them, and the stuff I've heard, I think, is really great, and I love the space that they're exploring. But I think I got into that kind of sound from artists who probably had similar influences as them, like Boards of Canada and Ulrich Schnauss, and even like the early DJ Shadow, like the introducing and that sampled space, and then Fotek and LTJ Bakim and Ronnie Size, all that kind of like 90s electronica, drum and bass and trip hop and all that stuff. I think that's where I really got tuned into that sort of thinking about the timbres over the songwriting and being really focused on ambient, having those ambient elements. Even if you have like a defined rhythm section or something, it's still nice to have these textural elements that bring that into the songs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.